Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this week's High Security Zone Advisory Group conference call. Andy, are you on the line?
I am, Craig, yes.
Great, good morning. So I'm going to turn the meeting over to you and obviously to Greg. I'll go ahead and do roll call and then let you take over from there.
Okay, great. And Michael, are you on the phone?
Yes, I am here, Andy.
Would you like Christoph,
have you joined yet? Yeah, I don't hear Christoph yet. So I'll go through with the roll. Steve Holston?
Yes.
Morning, Steve.
Morning.
Tony Holmes?
Yes.
Hi, Tony. Mikey O'Connor?
I'm here.
Great. Adam Palmer? David Maher, I did hear your voice already.
Yeah.
Ching Chow? Are you here, Ching? John Levine?
I'm here.
Morning, John. Evan Leibovich? John McElwain, I know I heard your voice already. Hector Manoff? Eric Brown? Brian Cute?
Here, good morning.
Good morning, Brian. Paul Stahura? Lynn Gudendorf?
Yes, I'm here.
Morning, Lynn. Morning. Neil Warner? Sean Chen? Rude? John Christoph? Andy Steingrubel? Christoph, have you joined the call yet?
Yes, I did.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Jonathan Frakes?
I'm here. Good morning.
Morning, Jonathan. Jay Daly? How about Jeff Schmidt?
Jeff Schmidt here.
Morning, Jeff. About Frank Martin. What about Michael Barrett? Joe Saint Sauve.
Joe.
Morning, Joe. Paul Smoser. Paul. Okay. Luis Munez. Michael Pelage, I know you're on the call. Ken Stubbs. What about Steve Cabani? I know Barry Cobb is absent today. And what about Mike Rodenbaugh? And then for ICANN staff, Andy Welch we know is on the line. Greg Rattray is on the line. Dave Piscatello, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Thanks, Dave. Jeff Bickers? I don't think he's going to be on this call. Kurt Pritz, we know, is on the call. Dan Halloran? David Giza? Francisco Arias is sitting here with me. Mark McFadden?
I'm here.
Great. And what about Kim Davies? That's the role, and if I could remind folks to please mute your phone when you're not talking, just to minimize the disturbance in the background. Andy, the floor is yours and Greg's.
Okay, great. Thanks, Craig. So I think everyone got a copy of the agenda from the HSCLD group. The first item we have after agenda is meeting time, and Michael, do you want to take that item?
Or yes. Thank you, Andy. Craig has just forwarded to the list a proposed rotation of times to accommodate those participants from the Asia-Pacific region. I propose that we try this schedule, see how it works, and accommodate accordingly. Again, I think Michael Barrett just commented on seeing how this rotates again. If we tend, we may sit there. Right now, we're going to alternate. We may sit there and go 2-1, 1-2. We're going to try some different schedules, but at least this is a proposed working time frame to go forward to be a little more sensitive to the time concerns. So, are there anyone from the Asia Pacific region that has any concerns with that time? Does that work for them? I know we don't have Frank. I didn't hear Ching. I think we're actually missing a lot of our Asia Pacific representatives. So hopefully next week we will be able to be a little more inclusive and accommodating to their schedules. So is there anyone that wants to comment on any objections to that time being difficult for anyone? All right, so be it. We will move forward with that time, that proposed time slots over the next couple of weeks. Although we, depending upon experience, we're opening to change it depending upon participation. So I think that covers item 1.2. I think, Andy, moving to sort of 1.3 as far as the agenda, I have no problem with the items identified in item 2 for this week. Is there anyone on the call that would like to modify that or proposed any amendments to our discussions today? Good. Consensus moving forward. One of the things we need to do as a group is sort of follow up on our to-do list. And last week we identified a couple of follow-up items. One of the things not on here that forgot was the statement of interests. I will try to go through and identify which statements of interests have been submitted and which ones are missing. And I will send out an email to the list to get those members that have not submitted it to do so as soon as possible. One of the things we talked about last week was looking at the to reach out to the APWG and perhaps BITS and having them give a presentation. Paul, thank you very much for the submission, your DAG submission and the appendix. That was very helpful. And one of the things I'd like to perhaps discuss is, would you be open to perhaps next week giving somewhat of a detailed presentation on how that work product evolved in connection with your discussions and dialogue with ICANN staff? Would you be open to possibly doing that perhaps next week?
Mike, I'm not sure that I didn't hear Paul say he was on the line today. So we may need to
follow up with him.
At some point, we'll need to follow up with him independently on that kind of request.
Okay.
Mike, I can take
all right.
As a to-do and include that in the agenda if we can get that moving forward.
Okay. With regard to law enforcement, I reached out to Bobby Flame, who was last week, who has been very active in this area and did several presentations in Seoul with some of his other international law enforcement colleagues. As far as their participation, I did not. My understanding was Bobby would not. I do not believe he is interested in being an active team member or participant. However, he did express an interest in perhaps briefing the group in some of the work that they have done in this area and providing feedback with some questions that we may have going forward. So there appears to be a clear intent to follow and contribute to the work of the group. However, perhaps not in the capacity of a team member. So what we may want to do is, again, once we follow up with Paul and perhaps with Bobby, we can identify one of those two groups as potentially beginning to give some background information on what they've done. And again, I just want to thank Dave Piscitello. Dave, that was a really great summary and a lot of good background information that you compiled. And I would encourage everyone, as we try to move towards completing more of our work offline, to really read the various documents that were included in Dave's briefing, because they are, I think, very helpful and very relevant to the work that we'll be doing. So, as I said, I think as far as the to-do, we've sort of tacked all of those items off right there. Chris, do you have anything as far as the items that we've covered that I may have missed or you think need some further detail?
Michael, I think we have to speak about the wiki.
Mm-hmm.
And we spoke about a wiki, but we have some IT issues. What do we really need? Is it an open space, a closed one? We have different ways to handle it, and we need your input.
Okay, so part of so I think what you're proposing is to use the Social Techs Wiki for the group to begin to advance some of its offline work, as opposed to trying to get everything done or on the call. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is.
Excellent.
Michael, this is Craig.
Yes, Craig.
So ICANN's IT department is ready to go ahead and set this up for us. I think we have a couple of basic questions that we need to answer, and that is, you know, is it a private list? Is it a public list? And presumably only members of this advisor group would have edit capabilities.
Yeah. So let me give my personal. So let's start a queue, because I think this is something that the team needs to contribute on. My view would be it should be open for anyone interested in the work that we're doing to see what we are doing. But I do agree with you that any potential edits to the text in the wiki needs to be limited to only team members. So that is kind of my view of the that's my vote for how it should be done. Chris, what's your view on the appropriate mechanism for how it should be moderated?
It makes sense to have restricted access from an editing point of view, and it makes sense to have open, readable workspace. But we will have to make sure to deal with content and time management. I mean, we must not send on both list and workspace. Otherwise, it will not make sense.
Okay. Excellent. Is there anyone, any team members on the call today that would propose a different solution, limiting access? It appears that Chris and I are on are in sync. Are there any alternative views? There we go. Put it this way, since we seem to be on a roll here today. Excellent. So does that give you what you need, Craig, to work with ICANN's IT department to go about setting that up?
Well, Michael, I heard everything Christoph said, but unfortunately the operator was talking to me while you were speaking. So if you could give me one sentence on what your comment was, that would be great.
My comment was no one appears to be opposed to the proposal that Chris and I have set forth, which is open for everyone for anyone to see what the group is doing. Edits to the material would be restricted to team members.
Got it. I will follow up on that today.
Excellent. Okay. So what I'd like to do now is, at this point in time, perhaps allow Andy to begin to go through some of the work and some of the principles that he has done in connection with, I believe, his straw man proposal and some of the principles that we've discussed here. So, again, Andy, if you would like to begin to lead the discussion, and if there are any team members that have questions, please voice up, and Chris and I will try to create a queue to move the discussions forward.
Fantastic. Michael, thank you. So for everyone's benefit, this is item number 2 in the agenda, and it's basically a review of the HSTLD goals and supporting principles. So I think for the members of the group that were on the call last week or listened to our recording from the call last week, one of the things we put out to the group was a very succinct goal statement. We've modified it very, very slightly as 2.1 in the agenda today to reflect that it's a voluntary program. But we want to make sure that we get feedback on the goal statement. Is it sufficient? Do we want to change it? Do we want to modify it and the like? The idea is that goal statement really is the core of what we're trying to accomplish. And from the goal statement, we have several principles. There are currently 3. They're in the draft concept paper. There's a link on the agenda just above. And they're designed to support the goal and also designed to be able to hang off objectives and control criteria under each principle. So the idea is, in the dialogue going forward, we'd like to start an iterative process of looking at the goals, then the principles, getting feedback on those 2 levels, and then moving on to the objectives and the controls that are found in Section 3.2.1 of the High Security Zone paper. So you'll see in the paper under 3.2.1, each principle has several things. It has topics, objectives, and then possible control criteria that support the topics. We'll get down to each level as we begin to work through the group, but ultimately those components will serve to set the actual controls that the program would like to pursue. I know there were some questions last week on things like risk assessment and how does that play in and so forth. But does everyone have access to the concept paper? Have they looked at 3.2.1? Are there any just initial questions on the principles or the goals at this point?
This is Lynn Goodendorf.
Hi, Lynn.
Michael, and I appreciate that clarification. My comment that I sent by email during the week to the ISO standard 27002, where in the introduction section, it talks about developing requirements for security. But I think, you know, the approach that you've outlined is going to satisfy that. My suggestion had been a risk register because I have found that to be quick and easy and not difficult to do. But I don't have any objection to going about the work this way.
You know, Lynn, I read that comment. I think it's an excellent, excellent suggestion. And one of the things I think it can do in the process is provide sort of a loop to evaluate. Once we get down to sort of the criteria level, particularly where we're talking about the components of the controls, it's particularly good to sort of evaluate or answer the question: Do we have sufficient control? Do we have sufficient criteria? And then there's a level underneath the possible criteria topics that we didn't get to in the concept paper, where we actually might provide some illustrative examples of the criteria. So actually, how those criteria might be met through illustrative example. And when
right.
we start looking...
Well, the other thing that might be useful for us, too, and would save time is, again, in that same ISO standard, there is a section 0.6 called Information Security Starting Point, and it actually lists out controls that are considered to be fundamental or essential controls and considered to be common practice. And I know we had talked last week about a baseline and being able to differentiate like a baseline from a higher standard of security. And so that could perhaps save us some time there too if we want to reference that section of that ISO standard.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear you say that, Lynn, because when we were putting together the concept paper, one of the sources that we drew from for the possible criteria topics was the ISO standard. So there's some of that in there already. You know, have we done a good enough job to capture all of it, and have we extended it out in the right areas? I'm not sure yet. I think we'll.
Yeah, I think my concern. And is that in order for this program to have credibility, we have to be able to articulate the rationale or the logic of how the controls were selected and, why we feel they are necessary, whatever list of controls we end up with. And, that was more where my thought process was, is, how are we going to show our rationale or our logic?
Right. What's the linkage there, and why is
right.
it?
Right. And normally what's looked for is that the controls are linked to some type of risk identification and prioritization.
Right. And there's two ways to look at that, I think. The first is the controls, ultimately, we have a goal. So we're trying to achieve something. And the goal statement is very broad at the moment. We're really trying to achieve security over the baseline registry controls.
Okay.
So if you get onto that portion of the goal statement, that's sort of overall what we're trying to do. Mm-hmm. In order to do that, currently the three principles, and in theory those three principles would support trust and security. And then underneath those principles, there would be controls to support the principle, so it kind of feeds up the ultimate goal. So that's one layer of linkage. But there's another layer of where did we get the controls themselves? So when we get down to that level, where are they from, and how do they link together?
The real basic question that I've heard people ask is, what are we trying to protect? And sometimes what we're trying to protect is actual data or intellectual property. Sometimes we're trying to protect computing assets or computing infrastructure. So there can be, multiple things that we're protecting with the security measures. But we have to be able to answer that question of exactly what are we protecting or what are we defending from, what threats are we defending from. But, again, I don't have any disagreement.
Right. Sorry? Somebody was just offering some thoughts. Okay. Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's right. And I think as we go through the process of iterative design, that's going to be something that'll sort of come out both in the dialogue and in the material that we're looking for. And one of the reasons that we in the concept paper wrote possible criteria topics as opposed to being a little stronger and saying criteria topics was that really was sort of the line that we drew for how much development we could get through in concept. So there is some development that needs to go into that level.
Okay, sounds good.
So what I'd ask everyone to do is really take a look this week and provide feedback via the group exchange about the goal statement and about the three principles. Again, I'd like to start to solidify as much of this as we can in the weeks going forward. The process that I'd like to start to undertake to continue to develop is to introduce these concepts at various weekly meetings, have a dialogue about them, sort of release them like I'm doing today, describe what thinking was put into creating them, so have that level of dialogue, then have everyone sort of go and review the material and provide feedback so we can begin to take the next level of draft. One of the things that will happen in this iterative process, I'm sure, is that as we're adding components in, we'll go back and say, hey, you know what? There's some interesting things that we found at a lower level. Like perhaps when we're looking at the principles, we have some additional feedback that we want to feed up into the goal statement. I think that iterative process is important, and I think we need to have the ability to sort of go back and evaluate each different level. But I think we need to build on the concepts as we go forward. So, for instance, last week we introduced the goal statement. We're still slightly modifying it, but now that we have the principles out there, I don't think we should be afraid, if you will, to look at the principles and say, well, you know, we need a little bit more on the goal or statement, or we want to change the goal statement, and so forth. But I do think we want to, in the coming weeks, get to a stage where we're comfortable with the goals and the principles, and perhaps even the first level down beneath that, and sort of the relative timeline that I have in my head is to get to perhaps the goals and the principles and the objectives in time to have something that we can, as a group, say that we've reviewed and we have in draft tentatively agreed to by Nairobi. I don't know if that's too aggressive or not, but that's sort of the track that I'd like to take. Has everyone had a chance to review the principles? Do they have any questions at this point on them, or do they want me to go into them at this point?
Hi, this is Jonathan. I had a quick comment on the goal statement, and I sent it around to the list, but because this is a voluntary program, I did want to have a change to the goal statement that just said that, you know, this can be developed in tandem with the expressions of interest, so that it doesn't delay that process.
I'm just taking it down, Jonathan, so I don't lose track. So your overall concern is the coupling of this with the statements of interest?
Basically, you know, if there was in the expression of interest the introduction of the question, you know, will you intend to use a high security zone being some sort of a criteria for if there's a collision in name string or something like that, that, you know, that could be introduced later. But, I just don't want this to introduce any delay to the expression of interest process.
Okay. You don't want... Right.
Hey. This is Kurt. Can I respond to Jonathan?
Sure, Kurt.
Jonathan, this is Kurt. I'm really sympathetic to what you're saying, and we're going to, you know, it's certainly the goal to, you know, and I'll caveat it with if it's decided to go ahead with DOI, then we're going to do so with all due alacrity. But I think it kind of gums up the mission of this group to kind of, complicate it with the goals elsewhere in the program. So I think this team is, the ICANN team is, and those associated with EOI are sympathetic to that view, but I don't think it really goes with the, goes with the goal of, establishing a high security TLD program.
You're saying it's just obtuse?
Yeah, I'm just saying we should clean and just focus on the high security program and not associated with EOI or other aspects of the GTLD program. Well, if I have a statement from ICANN staff saying we're sympathetic to what you're saying.
Appreciate it.
So
I think the concern would be if it's mandatory, right, for every TLD, but I hear that we're still contemplating voluntary.
Yes, and in fact, Jonathan, in the current draft goal statement, I'm very explicit. I say, just to read quickly, community representatives to evaluate the viability of a voluntary program and supporting control standards. So right out in the goal statement, we're being bold and saying this is voluntary.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
And that was one of the things. We had some sort of we cleaned the language a little bit and cleaned it from a series of words to just simply stating voluntary.
Well, most of what we're contemplating here, we're going to do anyway as a provider, but we definitely, you know, largely our concern is that there's additional delay to the expression of interest process or the GTLD program introduced by this.
Right. And I think, as Kurt was saying, I think that's something, you know, they're two separate efforts. I think that's the way to look at it. Kurt, if I can sort of paraphrase your dialogue there.
Yeah, and I think I've burned enough time on this topic. Well, let's go back to our primary focus.
Okay.
Thanks for accommodating.
This is Mikey. I'd like to get in the queue.
Mikey, there you go. Okay, I have Mikey O'Connor. Anyone else want to speak on this topic?
Steve Holston also, please, Michael.
Steve, Mikey O'Connor. All right, Mikey, you're up. Go.
Thanks, Michael, and thanks all for all of this. I'm going to zero in a little bit on principles, section 2.3 in the agenda right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to amplify something that I think it was Lynn spoke about a minute ago, and that is I am still confused a bit as to what exactly we are trying to provide high security for. If I read the three principles, these seem like good standard sort of data center data operations principles, and I think they're quite lovely, but I think that some of the expectation is that when a high security TLD is to be trusted by internet end users actually accessing, say, a web page or a system, that the expectation there is much broader than what I see in these principles. And so I really liked it when, again, if it's not Lynn, whoever you were, said, I think we need to be very clear about what we're trying to protect and for whom. And I'm not sure that this quite does it. So I just thought I'd throw that out there for...
For clarity, that was Jeff Schmidt's email of 20 minutes ago. I apologize for getting it out late.
Yes. So let me take a quick crack at that. So one of the things I think we're going to sort of struggle with is so what are we doing? What are we verifying with this program? What ultimately I think we're going to verify is that a TLD, so an operator, is in fact performing the controls that are required by the program. Okay? Those controls will in turn give a level of comfort that the principles that ultimately are the foundation of the controls are being met. What we are going to have difficulty doing is to verify that no bad things can happen, right? It's very difficult, and if not impossible, to sort of look forward into the future and verify that something is completely secure. But we can verify that there are good practices and controls in place at the organization, and that they've been described by a group, agreed to by the community. So in that regard, there's a level of comfort and trust that there's a certain level of good practice being performed at the operator. So I want to make that distinction. It's going to be important as we go forward. And it's not necessarily intuitive, right? When you hear controls, one of the things you think about is, well, we're protecting against, you know, specific security threats. And that's true. There are different threats can help mitigate. But for a program like this, we need to be encompassing enough that we get a level of trust that an environment or that a program is being run in a certain way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, this is Jeff, and I don't want to hijack the queue here because I know there are people in front of me. So I'd like to talk about this, but I don't want to hijack the queue. So tell me to get in line.
Steve, do you mind if
Jeff? Go for it, Jeff.
Okay, since we're talking about your topic here, Jeff, you have the floor. Go, please.
Thanks. I mean, I think this is the right conversation. And everything that was just said, I agree, but I think we need to take the next step, which is the for what purpose question. And so, I agree, and I don't think anybody would disagree, that having verifiable controls, at the registry and registrar level is good, and these are all very wholesome, motherhood and apple pie sorts of things. But we need to say, okay, well, that's great. For what purpose? Who are we protecting, and how, and exactly why? Who is getting value from having these verifiable controls in place at the registry and registrar level? And I think we have good answers to that question, but I think we need to be clear and on the same page about the for what purpose question. As I said in my email, oftentimes in security, the for what purpose kind of gets glossed over, and then that becomes a problem. So I took a shot in my email. I'm not going to reread the email, but I took a shot at the, at what I think the for what purpose is. And basically it comes down to end user confusion, which is, I think, why we're here in the first place, and helping to address that. And then secondly, creating a baseline for then market participants to embrace and extend this concept of verified operators to other areas that the market sees fit.
Mike, it's Ken Stubbs. Would you put me in the queue, please?
Sure, you're after Steve. And if I can, Jeff, I think you the for what purpose. Both Chris and I did a pre-call agree on this agenda with ICANN staff on Monday, and for what purpose was one of the themes and issues that I had raised. To me, I was looking at is how is this going to benefit my 65-year-old mother and allowing her to have more trust so she doesn't have to call me when McAfee or the little virus scam pops up. And so I mean, again, for what purpose? Who are we trying to benefit through this program? I think are part of sort of the higher level questions that, again, I would tend to be in agreement with you that needs to be part of our big picture approach. If I can, Steve, you have the floor.
Briefly, that with the goal, I think the goal is terrific, and one part I want to make sure to emphasize is that the goal is to evaluate the viability of a voluntary program. It's not to establish a program, and I think we need to remember that it's not a foregone conclusion that we want this, but rather we're looking to see if it's appropriate. So to emphasize that point, and then just a very small typo for you, Andy, which is potential should be potentially. That's it.
Good.
Can I get in the queue, please? This is Dave Piscatello.
Dave, yes. Ken, you have the floor.
Yeah, Mike. I think as everybody has echoed, pretty much the concept is very interesting. My biggest concern is not only you have to consider in the evaluation of whom this will benefit, methodology for informing potential users and creating some sort of way of assessing the benefit on the part of your 65-year-old mother. And I think we have to remember that just because we create a zone, we're so close to the issue that we can understand it, but the average user won't be able to understand it, and it's going to take a significant amount of resources to create the kind of confidence that you would need in order to be able to make those zones really effective. Otherwise, the only people they may become effective for are the people are the actual, let's say, financial institutions and so forth. But if your customers, having managed a financial institution many years ago, if your customers don't understand how to use it, and if your customers don't understand the benefits, in the long run, it's not going to be as significant as the quiet controls, internal controls that you put in place that people never even hear about.
Thank you, Ken. Dave, you have the floor.
Yeah, thank you. I think this is an interesting conversation, and the one point as observe is that we're talking a lot and using the term mitigation, and mitigation is elimination. One of the things that I think is very important about this program is that, and I think it distinguishes it from part of this conversation, is that we're really looking about reduction. You know, eliminating eliminating threats and and bringing risk down to zero is very hard when you don't have control over everything from the end user all the way up to the registry and anyone else in between. What we can do, however, is we can do what is often done at a firewall, where we simply shut off vectors of attack, and in so doing we reduce the risk. And I think that that's part of what the message has to be here. And the analog I would make to your grandma is the difference between driving on a paved road that has no lines that delineate lanes versus one that has, has adopted conventions for passing and don't pass, in terms of the way that lines are drawn. So I actually think you can articulate a lot of this once we sort of get down to some of the details, and we can actually tease out the benefits in a manner that makes sense. I mean, no one believes that we can cure the common cold, but we can certainly take measures to reduce your exposure to the viruses that give it. And I think that's the kind of message that we have to try to focus on.
Mikey, I thank you. Get in the queue.
Put me
all right
in the queue, please. This is Lynn.
Okay, Mikey, I will let ladies go first. Lynn, you, Mikey, you're next. Go ahead, Lynn, you have the floor.
Okay, I was going to say that in my experience, there is no such thing as zero risk. And to me, the word mitigate does not mean eliminate. It just means reducing risk down to an acceptable level. And there's always going to be an element of residual risk. And I think it's important that we all come to a consensus on this, because I would not want to represent or portray to anyone that a high security TLD is somehow bulletproof. I don't think that exists. I don't think there is such a thing as bulletproof.
All right, Lynn, I think that Mike Pelage speaking, I would tend to agree with your comments there. And perhaps, Greg, this is something we may want to address with John Jeffrey, but in the straw person paper that Andy has prepared, we've talked about a site seal. So there may be some potential, as you say, liability issues depending upon how this program is implemented, because as Lynn, I think, just pointed out, if some people perceive this to mean mitigation equals no risk and then there are, in fact, risk, does that create potential liability for ICANN if they are, in fact, the overseer of the site seal and the compliance and issues like that? So, that's something perhaps we could take up offline with John Jeffrey. Mikey, you now have the floor.
Thanks, Michael. This is Mikey O'Connor, and I'm glad to know that it really was Lynn. Sorry about the stumbling last time around. I think that in this document we need a layer between our draft goal statement and the principles. The principles, at least in this outline, strike me as extremely operational. And we need a strategic layer of conversation between these two that says, here's what we're trying to accomplish, here's who it's for, here's what we're trying to protect, et cetera, et cetera. And then the principles really strike me as tactical. How are we going to get that done? And so I guess what I'd suggest is that somebody sort of listen to the MP3 that's of the conversation we've just had and sort of extract some of the strategic issues. I liked Ken's points about customers, for example. I think there's a lot of meat in the conversation we've just had, and that kind of discussion needs to sit in between our goal statement and our principles.
Mikey, this is Andy. Actually, one of the things I've been sort of typing away at for my notes for development is a purpose section. So we have goal, and then purpose. And I think that's a good idea. I think that it captures some of the things that I'm hearing in this dialogue. So I'm going to try to take a crack at that, actually.
This is Mikey again. Just to respond to that, one of the things that you might contemplate is a problem statement that says, what's the problem we're trying to solve? Who's got this problem? I think that's the thing that's really missing right now, and by casting it as a problem statement, it might make it easier to chunk the resulting pieces of work.
This is Mike Pelage. Mikey, and I think I really like that approach, and I think what Dave has done in his excellent email that he had sent, I think he flushes out a lot of some of the problem statement background of what we're potentially dealing with there, as well as, Bits' contribution. So, I think that really is a good idea, and perhaps once we get the social tech text wiki up and operational, we can begin to, flesh out this concept among the participants. So,
Michael, John McElwain, can I get in the queue?
John, right now there is no queue, so you're up. Go.
All right. The other thing that I would mention is that we might want to consider maybe in addition to the goal statement that addresses incentives. We've heard a lot of people talking about what are the benefits, what are the purposes. We could spend a lot of time putting together looking at the viability of a program, but if we can't identify to the potential registries what are the benefits and what are the incentives we're going to offer in these certain areas, I think it could end up being wasted time.
We do have a little bit of that, John, in the existing concept paper under Section 2.
Yeah, 2, it does identify them. It kind of identifies the benefits, which I think are good and can be fleshed out. But I think part of our goal statement needs to be what incentives are there to identify those in more detail.
This is Mikey. Can I get in the queue?
You're up, Mike. Go.
You know, just to expand on what you were just saying, one of the things that I always like to hunt for in projects like this is sort of four dimensions. How can somebody make more money is always a good thing to list off. How can somebody reduce costs is another good thing to understand. Another is how can somebody get more nimble, more responsive to their customers more quickly? And lastly, how can somebody improve quality? Those have, over the years, served me well as sort of four things to hunt for. And if I can find a good list of those four things, that often helps figure out who needs to do what and what their incentive for doing it is. Because if the incentives, some of the incentives may be monetary, but some of them may fall into those four categories. Your incentive for doing this is that your TLD may make you a whole bunch more money. Well, that's a good thing to know. And so maybe that's a way to structure that conversation, is at least those four chunks when that conversation goes on. So I just wanted to build a little bit on the incentive idea.
No, I think that is good because, again, since this is intended to be a voluntary program, I think part of our end work product needs to, I think, highlight the value that this brings and to get people to voluntarily adopt this criteria. Is there anyone else that has not yet spoken that would like to get in the queue or contribute at this time? No? Okay. Andy, if you want to continue to perhaps go back and perhaps continue to discuss those principles in light of some of the feedback we've had from some of the team members, you are back in the driver's seat.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Andy, it's Greg. Can you hear me?
I can, Greg.
All right. Michael, I apologize. I spent about 10 or 15 minutes trying to be able to just get myself in the queue. Can I jump in for just a second?
There you go. Go. Jump.
Okay. First, I just wanted to address the issue that came up about the liability and the issues related to issuing a seal. As Andy would be able to tell you, we explicitly did identify that in the initial kind of concept paper. And I just wanted you guys to get my perspective is the group actually can be very valuable in bringing together experts that have experience with the issuance of seals and whether there are liability issues involved to inform ICANN. I also agree, Michael, that we need to make sure that the ICANN, legal counsel is engaged on that specific issue, and I'll go ahead and take that on board. The other short thing, Michael, is I do think we want BITS to address the issue of, whether the purpose of this whole group when they make their presentation. We know Paul Smucker is not on this call right now, but I think it would be very important for them to engage in some of the dialogue that we've had today, reference their perspective on this. So that's it from me.
Greg, I think Paul did join about 10 minutes ago.
Okay.
Yeah, I am on, and I only have a little bit of a window here. I only have about 5 more minutes, so I kind of missed the beginning of the conversation. But we can catch up, and I'll be happy to share thoughts with the group.
Thank you, Paul. And, yeah, we only have about 5 minutes left in this call as well. But
Michael,
perhaps
Michael?
You could go ahead, Greg, yes.
No, it's Brian Q.
Brian, go.
Yeah, no, just 2 points. I agree with many of the comments that were made, the last few comments that were made just prior to Greg's intervention there. I think that we've stumbled on a good direction. One tweak on, Greg, what you said about the BITS folks coming in and helping define the purpose of the group. I'm looking forward very much to their presentation because obviously it's their early spade work that kind of got this going. But I would echo the sentiment that we really need to define the group's purpose for this work if it's to be done at all. And looking forward to BITS informing that in one way. Thank you.
This is Greg. If I misspoke, I completely agree that BITS's perspective is informing the group, right, not defining the group's purpose. So.
Thank you.
But, yep. And again, Paul, I really would like, at the top of the call, I went through your rather lengthy DAG3 submission, and I would encourage all team members to review it because there are lots of specifics that you did provide in your submission that I think will be very important data points in the work that we do. Right now, looking at the time, we have about 3 minutes left. What I want to do is there anyone that has not been able to speak or contribute yet that has something they'd like to say? Okay. No. As far as action items, what we're going, as I said, we're going to follow up myself along with ICANN staff and identify those people that have not yet done their statements of interest, and we will be sending you an email reminding you of that. And Paul, would you be available next week? I don't know if you've noted, but we've switched times next week to be more amenable to our Asia Pacific team participants. Would BITS be able to perhaps present next week and provide a lot of the valuable input that you've done to date to get us up to speed on some of the background work? Is that something you'd be able to do next week for the group?
I should be available time-wise. I'm not sure if I'll be able to have the time to put something together, but let's exchange some emails about what you're looking for.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. I put it this way, Andy, Chris, do you have any closing comments?
No, I just like everyone to note that we'd like to get feedback on the goals and principles completed by January 29th, but I do think we have some to-dos around the purpose and so forth. I want to clock that a little differently than the 29th. I think we have some development to do there.
Excellent. And again, Andy, I think we'll be working with these the wiki in trying to move forward towards that goal, perhaps off, as I said, asynchronously to our weekly call, so we can do that offline. Chris, do you have any comments that you'd like to say?
Not really. That's okay for me.
Excellent. So, again, I'd like to thank everybody for their participation in this week's call, and look forward to the continuing collaboration with all participants. Greg, do you have any final closing comments, or could we bring the meeting
nope.
to a close?
I think it was well-run call. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks. Have a good day, everyone.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Michael.
Bye-bye.